I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast, which is brought to you by Univet. I'm Rachel Donovan and I'll be your host this week. I'm joined by our deputy editor Katrina Morrissey and news correspondent Anne O'Donoghue. Today we will be discussing the 10-year high of TB outbreaks, blue card delays, acres payments, grants for traditional farm buildings and farmer protests both at home and abroad. Katrina, I see on this week's front page, Noel Barden, news correspondent here with the Farmers Journal, has that TB outbreaks have hit a 10-year high and they were also up 24% in 2023. The issue just doesn't seem to be going away despite more money than ever being spent on an eradication programme.
Yeah, that's right, Rachel. And I mean, basically, the key takeaway from this story by Noel is that all of the metrics are going in the wrong direction. So the herd incidence rate, which is the number of herds that have a new TB breakdown in a rolling 12-month period, they increased to 4.89% last year. That was up from 3.64% in 2014. That mightn't sound a lot, but actually proportionally, that's a 75% increase in the herd incidence rate. So alongside that, you have an increase in the number of reactors. So herd expansion has obviously happened in that 10 years, but even comparing year on year, so we have we've 5,500 more reactors last year than we did the year before. So it was up at around 29,000 reactors last year, and that was actually a 24% increase. So that's a big jump in reactor numbers. And Noel in the paper has a map there breaking down, I suppose, the hotspots and what the rates are like in your particular area. It's not done on a county basis with the Department of Agriculture. It's done in these kind of little zones. So, for example, I'm looking at the map and people can pick up the paper and look at their own area. But there's, you know, there's a couple of areas there, 6, 7, 8 areas that have had up to 130 herds being restricted in the back end of last year. And then you have other areas that are much lower, you know, fewer than 5 herds being restricted. So, and I suppose the other angle that Noel looked at for this story was the cost of it. So TB eradication program has been with us for a long time now, but it doesn't seem to be having any effect at the moment. And actually the money that's going into it, as Noel points out, there's more money being spent on the TB eradication than there is going into the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Program, into SCEP, and into the organic farming scheme. So, you know, again, I suppose farmers would love to see that TB being eradicated and maybe that money being able to be funneled to other types of schemes. It is, I suppose, the other thing about TB is not only is there the financial cost to the farmer, but there's a huge emotional toll and kind of a psychological toll there, which I heard going down. You know, you have the awkwardness of being restricted, but a herd being taken out is obviously a devastating thing for any farmer and farming family to have to deal with. And that's on top of of the emotion, or sorry, the financial end of things. The IFA's animal health chair, TJMR, has called for more funding to go specifically into the wildlife program to vaccinate and remove badgers. And again, pointing out, I suppose, that level of stress that's there on farmers.
Yeah, Katrina, stark figures there. And as you said, there's much more detail there on page four with a map as well that you can have a look at your own individual area. Also, Katrina, farmers were having issues over the last few weeks getting blue cards issued for calves. What's the latest here? Is there any updates?
Yeah, so we've been hearing from farmers over the last couple of weeks. You know, I've ordered tags, they haven't arrived. I've sent off samples, they haven't got any blue cards back. I can't move the calves until I do, etc. And this is the time of year. Obviously, cows are calving, and the farmers who sell the calves want to be able to move them off as soon as they're allowed to do under the rules. So the ICBF this week actually made two changes to what's going to happen. And that should, you'd hope, free up a little bit. So they're now going to issue a passport automatically if the sample has been in their lab for 10 days. So once it hits 10 days in the lab, they're going to automatically issue the passport. And the other is where a sample is found to be unsuitable or empty, they'll also give a passport pending a retest. So that will just maybe, I suppose, grease the wheels of what's going on and let farmers be able to sell their calves. They can't do it without the blue cards, without the calf passport. So that should hopefully address it. Now, the ICBF wasn't taking all the criticism fully, you know, it wasn't taking the blame for everything. They said that looking at their own stats, they said that up in the week up until Tuesday, the average turnaround time from birth to a passport being issued was 13.1 days, and that less than 2% or just around 2% of samples were longer than 7 days in the labs, which they did acknowledge was causing frustration for farmers. I mean, on the face of that, 2%, if it's less than 2% in the labs for more than 7 days, you'd say some of those are stuck there for a very long time to make the average, if it is only the 2%, to make the average turnaround time 13 days. But they're the ICBF stats. They've made some moves to try and improve the process for farmers. And that'll be even more important now as calving gathers steam further. As every week goes on now, we'll have more calves hitting the ground.
Yeah, and I think the advice there as well, Katrina, is for farmers not to be so holding on to samples and to send them off. So it's twice a week if they have a number of them, not to be holding them all.
Yeah, I'd say that would make sense. Yeah, not to be doing huge batches at one time and potentially having a huge batch delayed, maybe get them out the door more often, more frequently.
Yeah. I just might come in with a similar story of my own. We spoke to Mullinahone Co-op this week and farmers were having issues with tag delays from Mullinahone. They were saying that they were dealing with delays with tags, broken tags, and phone wait times as long as 45 minutes. So we contacted Mullinahone and they said they're catching up on orders. And I suppose this was due to an influx of a huge influx of orders at the start of the year. They maintained that I suppose they couldn't foresee the amount of farmers who left it to the first and second week of January to order their tags. But they have said that they are catching up on delays, and that last week that the phone wait times were as low as 10 minutes. So I suppose that's welcome news for farmers as well. There was definitely a lot of farmers both contacted us and on social media with issues there with tags from Mullinahone. But hopefully we'll be ironed out as we progress into calving. Thanks for that, Katrina. And I'll move on to you now. We want to discuss acres payments. Some farmers still have no confirmation as to when they'll be paid. What was the original date and that the department had promised farmers?
So Rachel, since it was announced that these payments would be delayed in December, February was always the date for when payments would be made. As the story progressed, and last week when it was announced that there was going to be an interim payment that would be paid at a flat rate, and as we said last week, that is for €5,000 for those in the cooperation stream, €4,000 for those in the general stream of acres. That date was set at the end of February. Now, that end of February date is approaching rapidly. Anyone who's listening to this podcast, there's less than a week to go to the end of February. So farmers want to know, where's the money and when's it coming? This week, the Department of Agriculture couldn't confirm an exact date by when these farmers, there's 26,000 farmers waiting on these interim monies, when they would be paid. However, since the paper has gone to print, there has been a couple of developments. There was an exchange in the Dáil on Thursday between Sinn Féin spokesperson Agriculture Claire Curran and Minister Charlie McConlogue, and he reiterated in the Dáil that these payments will be made by the end of February. So I suppose it's a rolling story, it's a developing story, it's definitely one for listeners to keep an eye on the website. We're on the countdown severely as to when these payments are going to be made, but the minister did reiterate in the Dáil yesterday that they will be made by the end of February, but as of when we went to print on Wednesday for Thursday, the Department of Agriculture could not give the date for when those payments will be made. Farm organisations were reacting during the week as well, I suppose, to the delay in the payments and the farmers waiting to get the money. Interestingly, the INHFA, they said that, there's quite a lot of conversation now around the logistics and what if your interim payment is higher than the payment that you would get. So if, you know, if your original payment is below the 4,000 or 5,000 of what it's going to be, the department said to us in the Irish Farmers Journal that each farmer whose interim payment is higher than what, say, we'll call it their original payment would be, that they'll be contacted by the department and repayment options will be discussed with them. The NHFA called for the farmers to be allowed to do extra work, do extra work in acres to be able to, I suppose, keep that extra money. So I think all this this is going to be ironed out. This is going to be sorted out in the next couple of days, weeks and months. So it's as I said, definitely something to keep an eye on, both in print, but in this acre story tends to progress quite quick. So definitely something to keep an eye on the website as well.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. One thing that farmers don't like is not getting money on time, but they definitely don't like money being taken back off them. So it'll be interesting to see how that works and how many farmers get more than, I suppose, they were eligible for, or what they're eligible for under the scheme.
Daddy, you won't believe it. The bull calf is better. He's standing up again.
What? Sure, only last night that wee animal was on his last legs. That Sacrolite is a miracle worker.
Sacrolite from Univet, the dietetic breakthrough in electrolyte care for weak or dehydrated calves. And it works fast.
Watch out, son. He's better, all right. Thank you, Sacrolite.
Sacrolite from Univet, caring for calves.
Now, Anna, we want to talk traditional farm buildings now and grants and money for traditional farm buildings. What's the latest here?
Yeah, so the traditional farm buildings grant scheme is incredibly popular and always gets a lot of traction every year when it opens annually. As far as I'm aware, this scheme has opened annually since 2016, and it allows for a grant of between 4,000 and 30,000 for the conservation and repair of traditional farm buildings. And as I said, loads of interest in it every year. Between 60 and 80 kind of people, farmers, are accepted into this scheme every year, so a small amount. Yeah, it's open now again for applications. There's quite a niche or a nuanced eligibility. Participants have to be, successful applicants have to be participants of a select agri-environmental scheme. Now, I won't go through all of theirs because there's a lot of points and details, but all that is in the paper if farmers want to check that out. So I suppose, obviously, if you're interested in the scheme, first thing to do is check to see if you're eligible. But the closing date for it's coming up, Rachel, it's at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, the 27th of March. And just important for people to note, anyone listening or if they know anyone that's interested, it's an online application only. So it's on www.heritagecouncil.ie. So that's where applications can be made. And there is all the information there as well, obviously. But everything you need to know is in the Farmers Journal this week. I'll be confident enough to stay in that. People are interested as well. There's a webinar being held on the 1st of March at 12 p.m. So that's next Friday. So if anybody's interested and wants a bit more information, I'm sure they'll be taking questions at that as well. And this scheme is run in partnership between the Heritage Council and the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, I think those webinars are always well attended, and as people are always keen to hear what they're eligible for, I suppose, and if their farm buildings qualify. So, and we might move to the protest section of the podcast now. We seem to be covering a protest every week at this stage. Yesterday, I was in Tullamore at the Tullamore Court Hotel, where ICBF held a stakeholder meeting over their changes to indexes which came into place last November. You had about by the end of this protest, there was about 12 suckler farmers gathered outside the ICBF meeting. Now, I'd imagine they probably were looking for more farmers to turn up, but it wasn't affiliated with any farm org. It was just a group of pedigree breeders and suckler farmers who turned up yesterday, I suppose, to get their message across. And there's widespread anger over how the star ratings have changed. And I spoke to a number of farmers there who had cows drop from 5 and 4 star cows down to 2 and as low as 1 star cows, as they described, with the single push of a button overnight. And I suppose they're just very angry, and they're talking about, you know, bulls that would have been show bulls and making 7,000 and 8,000 euros, where 5 star bulls now are only factory bulls worth 2 and 3,000 and more than half their value. And there was anger there, and we'll have a piece in it. I had a piece online, and we'll have a piece in the paper next week. And there's set to be another ICBF stakeholder meeting next Tuesday. Now, it'll be interesting to see whether or not this group of farmers protest again. They didn't really get talking to anyone yesterday. The meeting went on from 10 o'clock until 3:30. So when stakeholders came out of that meeting, they really weren't in the mood for talking. And I spoke to a number of protesters this morning just for an update, and they said, like, you know, they were really sick to the teeth of it. They didn't want to be annoying them with any more questions. They had a good few hours in with ICBF, but the general consensus is that they were trying to get ICBF to roll back on their changes to the indexes and the star ratings, and even proposals around cow weights to be maximum of 450 kilos, which was really didn't go down well yesterday when I heard the farmers talking about that. But so that meeting is to take place on Tuesday. We'll hopefully have an update from yesterday's meeting, and we'll be in touch as well on Tuesday, and we'll see if as I said, if those protesters go again. But then back to IFA protests, we have a number of counties protesting around the week. You had Kilkenny, Louth, Longford, Offaly, and I think Cork are set to go on Monday. They're all protesting, as we mentioned last week, outside county council buildings. A number of counties got into the chambers and got to speak to county councillors, and others had to wait outside and speak to them. I know in Offaly they got to go in and they got to express their issues, and you know, these are different to what the suckler farmers in Tullamore were given out about yesterday. They were mainly the latest acres payments, the derogation, the nature restoration law, obviously, in Offaly is a big thing, and they're very worried about farmers being put out and of a family farm and loss of viability. So yeah, they all took place this week. Actually, 2 weeks ago we had Longford kicking off. They were the very first to start. So they'll be taking place over the next number of weeks and months ahead of elections in June, of European and local elections. So that's the idea. This round of protest by IFA is to get the message across to politicians, and they're starting that at county council level. And you were following up on what's happening in Europe. Would you just round off the podcast today by us was giving us an update on where things are? They've been protesting a lot longer, I think, into the year than we have.
Yes, Rachel, to round off the protest section of the podcast, any amount of protests these days at home and abroad, you could nearly fill the paper with them. Just give listeners a flavour of European protests. You were mentioning counties there. If you're looking across Europe, you have protests from Polish farmers on the Poland-Ukrainian border, Greek farmers, Czech farmers, Italian farmers, Welsh farmers, just to give a flavour, all those farmers out in the past week protesting. Poland is that protest by Polish farmers on the Ukrainian border is probably the one that's kind of escalating at the moment. And I suppose a lot of other countries, you see that kind of protesting over similar issues in terms of, you know, the pressure from the EU on climate change measures would be kind of the kind of common theme across a lot of the countries. You know, a lot of regulation, red tape, that kind of thing, low margins, cost of production. Poland then tends to has a little bit of a different element to it. Polish farmers have been protesting over the last number of weeks over the high levels of agri-food imports from Ukraine since the import quotas and tariffs from Ukraine were removed. So it's they have over the this week, they increased the number of border crossings that they were blocking. And I suppose in the biggest escalation, they opened railway carriages and let Ukrainian grain spill out onto the tracks. As you can imagine, it was met with anger from Ukrainian politicians. They called on the European Commission, I suppose, to address this and to take action on this. Ukrainian hauliers have now started their own protest at the border crossings, which they said the demonstration is going to last until mid-March. So that's one that's kind of rumbling on, progressing and escalating there at the Polish-Ukrainian border. Greek, as I said, the Greek farmers were out protesting similar issues to what I outlined before. It was quite a big protest, over 8,000 farmers in central Athens. Italy, a very interesting one, maybe a nice and finally to round off this podcast. Italian farmers, like, think about Rome, anyone who's been on holidays there, you have those real iconic monuments. Italian farmers parked their tractors at some of the main kind of monuments, makes for great pictures, Circus Maximus being one. And they were invited by the Pope last Sunday to Mass. So all the group of the farmers, their cow and the tractor, all into St. Peter's Square in the Vatican, got a blessing from the Pope. Interestingly, the cow, this symbolic protest cow called Ercolina II. And Ercolina II is a progeny of the original Ercolina, who was the symbolic protest cow in the late 90s when Italian farmers were protesting against milk quotas. So nice little story there for Italian farmers. They're gifting the Pope a tractor. One of the more quirky protests is happening. But I'm sure, look, whether it's home or abroad, there'll be plenty more protests to come over the next few weeks. And myself and yourself keep everyone up to date in the podcast.
Yeah, we don't have a Pope to be serenading here in Ireland, unfortunately. But yeah, as they said, quirky protests are right. Ours are that bit more bland, unfortunately. That's it for this week, folks. Thanks, Anne, and thanks, Katrina. We've lots covered again this week, but as always, we'll never get all our stories covered in the podcast. So check out the paper for a lot more stories this week, from fertiliser to beef prices to updates from Stirling sales in Scotland. And there'll be lots of reading there for the weekend. Thanks a million, and we'll talk to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.